Welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk. This morning I would like to talk about God's power. Now, specifically, I want to talk about God's power between us. If you'll kind of follow my thought pattern. Coming here this morning, the fall wind was really powerful. Looks like gusts up to maybe 25, 30 miles an hour. That's kind of a power, right? Sometimes people think of wind power, the power of God, and all that sort of stuff. I want to talk about something that's a little bit more intimate and yet very life-changing or potentially life-changing, and therefore a different kind of power. There's different kinds of power. And I want to begin by telling you a story of the first sermon I ever preached way, way back 45 years ago. Yeah, that's a long time ago. June 25th, 1972, in southeastern Wisconsin. A little town called Footville. About 1,100 souls, good farming folk. I had just been assigned Footville and another little church, Plymouth Church in the Country. I was going to go to seminary, and I served as their pastor even 2 months before I actually started school. Now, prior to going into the ministry, which I thought I was going to do eventually, I spent nearly 4 years as assistant professor of psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. My wife and I had wonderful years in Mount Pleasant. Got there in February of 1969 and left in June of 72. Now, from the end of 1967 to 72, I had been in a mystical relationship with God. That is to say, through God's gracious opening, I had entered into kind of what's called a contemplative life. I would pray most every night, and much of the time there would be this gentle entrance into what's been called the temple invisible. I don't know how to describe it. It's also been called the cloud of unknowing. Whatever you call it, it's just this wonderful sense of a unitive spirit with God. Now, I didn't tell people about this. You know, I'm the kind of guy that until I'm ready to talk about something, I don't really want to talk about it. But then when I'm ready to talk about it, sometimes it's difficult to get me to cease talking about it. Well, I was a psychologist, and yet I was a mystic. I didn't tell my students about that. I kept to the field of psychology. And May 1st, 1970, when my wife went into labor with our first son, who would be born later that evening, you need to know that's my birthday too, May 1st, and I'm a twin, fraternal, so my brother and I have always shared May 1st. So May 1st, 2:30 in the afternoon, we're living in a farmhouse outside Mount Pleasant and running around getting ready to go to the hospital. And the phone rings back in the days when there were regular phones, not cell phones. And it's a guy from Garrett Theological Seminary on Northwestern University's campus in Evanston, Illinois, saying, "We have your name as someone who's interested in coming to seminary." It was a United Methodist seminary. I had never figured out how they got my name. And I said, "Listen, I can't talk now. We've got to get my wife to the hospital. We're going to have our first child. But go ahead and send me your stuff. I'll look it over." Took me 2 years, 1972, to resign my position at Iowa Wesleyan College and go to seminary. Wow. And when I told the head of the department, of psychology at Iowa Wesleyan what I was going to do, she was shocked. She said, well, you know, Hal, I knew that you were a Christian, but I had no idea that you were that serious. And in just an interesting set of circumstances, I joined the Methodist Church literally 1 week before I was preaching as a Methodist pastor, because I'd been a psychologist, and these two churches in southeastern Wisconsin had experienced some really tough times, and there was a lot of anger and disarray, and the powers that be of the Wisconsin Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church said, okay, we're going to put aside, you know, the normal channel and church laws, because maybe this guy hopefully can help heal the churches, which I was blessed to be able to do. At any rate, I didn't know what to preach. You know, I was comfortable in front of people. I'd been teaching college for nearly 4 years. But at age 29, I had never once given a sermon. Different than teaching. You know, teaching, you don't have to be committed to the subject that you're teaching. You don't have to demand that the students buy it, right? You don't have to try to convince them. But what I understood a sermon to be was something that you yourself were committed to, you had feelings about, and that you felt it was important enough to preach it, so you wanted people to take it in and be convicted, convinced of the truth, and hopefully it would be something that would be good for their lives. So anyway, that plagued me. I was pretty much biblically illiterate. I was up in the field of psychology, but I hadn't really studied the Bible. I'd read a few things. What was I going to preach? I didn't know. I was in a quandary. And then one day, a little more than a week before we were going to move and I was going to preach, I walked into my study, and my Bible had been taken out of its cardboard container. It was a Jerusalem Bible, the only Bible I had, and it was open on my desk to Acts 10. Now, our son Matthew was 2, and my wife did not go into my study very much at all. And I asked her, I said, did you take my Bible out of its container and open it? She said, no, I never did. Matthew was pretty little at 2, but I at least said, Matt, did you go in there? No, Daddy. How did it get there? How did it get opened? Well, I had this shiver in the back of my neck, which indicated to me that, you know, maybe this was God's work. Wow. What if God had pulled out and opened the Bible to Acts 10. So often, you know, it's these little things that if we're open, we can sense maybe it's of God. Maybe God's saying something, which I really believed that God was. Well, Acts 10 is the story of Peter and Cornelius. It's an amazing and an amazingly important chapter. And as I read it, the Spirit more or less testified to my heart what really God wanted me to say. But little did I know then that this God-inspired message from Acts 10 that God wanted me to read, take in, and preach would become actually the central theme of my entire ministry. Isn't that crazy? So here's the chapter. It's a little long, but it's... As we'll see, it's really an important chapter in church history. So here we go. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. So he was a really important soldier, folks. I will make little asides as we go along. He was a commander of Roman troops, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. Now, he's what was called a righteous Gentile. throughout all of the cities where the Jews would moved out in what's called the diaspora meaning the spreading out of Jews who left Palestine to go all over the world. Well, they were strangers, you know, they were not citizens of that land, but righteous Gentiles, that's to say people who believed in their God and supported this synagogues and so forth, were very important to Jews living in that area. So here was such a man. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Excuse me, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." This gets to the kosher laws I'll talk about in a second. The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. I'm going to take a break here for a second as we get the weather. But before I say that, I want you to understand that these creatures, reptiles and probably a swine, were things that the Jews were not allowed to eat because God had prohibited it, forbidden it in the Torah, in the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. And even today in Orthodox Judaism, you know, they don't eat pork or shellfish or things like that because that's considered unclean. So God was doing something rather significant, calling that which had been viewed as unclean now is no longer unclean, now it's clean. And we're going to see what that means in just a minute, so stay with me.
It's no secret that you get the best service with Pearl City Iowa Realty. Looking for your dream home? We can help. This is Anna Mack, and my office of talented realtors have years of experience serving home buyers in both Muscatine and Tipton. Call us today at Pearl City Iowa Realty, 563-263-0433.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. A blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 57. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 38. Highs level off around 63. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Upper 60s Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
For complete ag news, Brownfield.
We're back. Okay, so you got the picture so far. Peter's had this vision, and prior to that, this righteous Gentile, the centurion, Cornelius, has been told to go get this guy. what's going to happen? Okay, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day he came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter said to him, "Get up! Stand up! I'm only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile," meaning in their home. They're not supposed to, but he did, you see. Okay, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask, why did you send for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, which of course was when Peter had his vision too, I was praying in my home when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and ask for Simon, who was called Peter. He is staying at the home of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come.' Now, all of us here in the presence of God want to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." That's a big change, folks. You know the message he sent to the people Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, meaning the Jews, of course, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. my friends, do you know what's going on at that moment? Let me tell you. First of all, now I didn't realize this, by the way, when I read this. But later at seminary, I discovered that this moment in Christian history was the first moment that the arc of the Holy Spirit moved beyond Judaism, beyond the Jewish people, onto the Gentiles. This is the beginning of the Gentile movement of Christianity. That gives me shivers. That's a big thing, okay? Now, back in 1972 when I was reading this, in a sentence the message God gave me seemed to be this, and this was the heart, the center of my first sermon. It is in revealing ourselves to each other that God reveals himself to us. It is in revealing ourselves to each other. When we come and we meet, and the power of God can be sensed between us, that God reveals himself to us. We receive the Holy Spirit through our mutual self-disclosure. It does not matter whether God first reveals himself to us, or we to God, or we to one another, followed by God to us. In the end, it's all about the same goal. The shared or common world is the world of the Spirit. Behold, we're invited into the mutuality of God. Heaven is life together. And the wonderful Greek word, by the way, is koinonia, which means literally that which is common, finding the common. And if there's time yet today, you'll see why this message is profoundly important today when this country is experiencing radical divisiveness, my friends, as bad, I'm afraid, maybe as bad as the Vietnam era. And I'd lived through all of that. Wow. And that's the work of the enemy, as we shall see, to divide us. Because the power of God's Spirit is when we're unified. The power is between us. Okay. Now, Peter had to actually meet Cornelius. He had to address him directly, testify to him personally about what he had seen and heard, about how God in Christ had totally changed his life and the life of so many others around him. Okay, so what one thing this means for us is the gospel has to be the good news in our own life before we can bring it to others. Christianity can only be hand-carried, hand-delivered, person-to-person, by-person, in-person, as a living, shared truth. That also means something spiritual had to happen between Peter and Cornelius, as we can imagine how Cornelius was looking at Peter. Wow, why did God send you to me? What is this important thing you have for me? And Peter, likewise, was probably looking at Cornelius and thinking, why did God tell me to come see you? What is going on here? It was between them, for which there simply is no substitute or surrogate. The mutual presence of one soul to another. So that, as I say, the arc of the Holy Spirit can pass between them, like electricity can pass between poles, as it happened here. So here I was, kind of like Peter, having had my own, you know, private visions and revelations during those nearly 5 years of a private mystical life with God and with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And now I was asked to go and preach, like to people like Cornelius, the righteous Gentile. Well, Cornelius represented and still represents not only the world in its search for revelation of the truth, but my friends, also the church today in its situation of waiting for someone to come and bring the living truth and reignite its passion, because there's an absence of the direct knowledge of God, not only in the land, as Hosea pined, but also in the church. The church today, generally speaking, is not in Christ. As is predicted in 2 Timothy, they're practicing a form of piety, a form of Christianity, while denying its power. Do you agree with that? The power of the Holy Spirit, the power that happens between us. Cornelius received the Spirit as he listened to Peter's message. Peter breathed out the Spirit through his words, and Cornelius and his household breathed in the Spirit as they drank in Peter's words. With faith, they were open to it. They heard. They listened. Word and Spirit are, in fact, one. Jesus says in John 6:63, "The words that I have spoken to you today are Spirit, and they are life." So as you're open to words, they can become Spirit and life to us. Wow. The power of God reveals itself between us. When we reveal ourselves to one another who's doing the same thing. You know, I've been blessed so many times over the years in my 37 years in the parish to witness and partake of this divine power, especially when praying for another's healing. Yes, I have more to say about this, and maybe I'll talk more about the Spirit field when we are together again next time. But I will give you a quick story about this power of God between us. Just a story of the first time I prayed for healing for another person and something happened. I won't give you all the details now, but I'll tell you the next time, maybe surrounding this. But the guy's name was Raleigh. He was a wonderful guy, he was a friend. I was associate pastor at First Methodist Church in Des Moines, and he had kidney stones. And I got a call that he was in the hospital. The next morning they were going to take out his kidney stones, and he was in a great deal of pain. He's a good guy. And so I visited him that night, and I walked into his room. I can still remember it. And he looked at me, and he tried to give me a smile, but he was in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. So we're talking, and then because of events that had just previously happened at that church about healing, which I'll tell you about, but I don't have time today. I said, "Raleigh, after everything that this church has been through, do you believe in healing prayer?" And he kind of groaned out, yeah, Hal, I sure do, and boy, I sure would like it to help. I said, "Well, let's pray for your healing." So I remember putting my hands, one on his shoulder, the other on his side, and quietly praying for healing, and as God is my witness, a power went through me, kind of like electrical, but not, you know, electricity, but it was the Spirit. A power went through me. It was between us, my friends. It went through me, and I began laughing because I knew that he had been healed instantly. You can laugh, you can say that's crazy, but it's not, it's not. And I stopped praying, and I said, "Raleigh." He looked at me, he was smiling. I said, "I think he's been healed." He said, "Hal, I have no pain, it's gone." And he laughed because he had a good sense of humor. Guess what? The next day, he was sent home. He never got kidney stones again that I know of. Now, how do you explain that? The power of God is between us. So we need to be willing witnesses, willing conduits, willing instruments. The fields are ready, but the laborers are few. Jesus says, pray to God to get laborers. Well, I have more to say about this power of the Spirit between us, and I'll pick that up next time. If you'd like to hear the show again, I will have it on my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Please give it a listen. God bless you. Talk to you again soon.
KWPC, K236 CF Muscatine.